Let's get right into it. We are in 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a very interesting chapter for me. I wanted to talk about it today. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, we ask that you be with us all and be with me in a way so that what we talk about can enlighten us to your character so we can be closer to you in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 6. I don't know about you guys, but the Bible is just very, very interesting. And reading this story once again, I came up to an idea. It's a theory. It's not confirmed, because I tried to do a little research and it wasn't confirmed for me, but I have a little theory that I just figured out from reading it. Basically, we're talking about the prophet Elisha. The first few verses, starting with 1 to 6, actually to 1 through 7, it talks about how an axe head fell into basically into a body of water. I think it's the Jordan River. I'm just making sure. But basically, it had sunk, and it was looking like it was going to be lost. Prophet Elijah puts a stick in there. The axe head floats up, and once again, he has done a miracle. Elisha actually does more miracles than the prophet Elijah, and it's basically confirming that request that the prophet asked Elijah before he was taken up into heaven, which was for him to have a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah says, "You have asked a difficult thing, but if you see me taken up, then it will be granted unto you." He does in fact see Elijah taken up into that fiery chariot, and he is granted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And in fact, so if you read the stories of Elisha, it's miracle after miracle after miracle. I think the first time you see someone being resurrected from the dead is Elisha. I may be incorrect, but that's one of the first things you read is for Elisha doing that for the Shunammite woman. And that is powerful. Another story that I saw, I couldn't believe it. You ever have a pastor mention something, but he says it like really quickly, and he says, "Oh yeah, by the way, in the Bible, this happened." And you're like, "Wait, what? Can you?" So this happened. I think Doug Batchelor said this, and he said, "Yeah, there was one time where there was a dead body, and they buried it next to the bones of Elisha, and the body touched the bones of Elisha, and because he was so filled with the Holy God's Spirit, that he came to life." I said, wait, that did not happen. But yes, it did. And if you can find it in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21. They were burying a man, and they saw a band of men as they were burying them. And they were like, "Oh no, this band of men is going to attack us." So they got really nervous. So they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And as he was let down into the tomb of Elisha, he touched the bones of Elisha and he revived and stood up to his feet. So this man of God, as the Bible says, he's a man of God. He is filled with the Spirit of God. He is able to do miracles so amazingly, just as Jesus does miracles so amazingly, because they are so filled with the Spirit of God. And what happens in 2 Kings chapter 6 is such an interesting story. I mean, it's so amazing what happens, because first of all, you have the Israelites defeating the Syrians at every turn. The Syrians are getting defeated because every time they try to ambush the Israelites, the Israelites know where the ambush is coming from. They either don't show up to the ambush or they're ready for them. It gets so bad that the king of Syria says, he calls his war council into his room, and he says to all his joint chiefs, and he says, "Listen, one of you is a spy for Israel. One of you is betraying. One of you is telling all my intel to Israelites' intelligence officers, because every time I try to attack, they know what's coming. And then a man speaks up and says, no, there is no spy. And the reason why I believe this man says there is no spy is because this man was the spy. And he was the intelligence officer for the king. And he spied on all the joint chiefs and all these things. And he double checked. And he said, but there is a man in Israel that knows what you even whisper to your wife in the bedchamber. Now, those who are married, we know that what's whispered in the bedchamber is the secret of secrets. So only God knows what is that being spoken in there. So the other thing I realized is that not only is this man the spy, who else is giving intel, it most likely could have been Naaman who speaks up. Because remember, in 2 Kings chapter 5, he's the one that is healed by the prophet Elisha. So how would they know about the prophet Elisha? It's from the story of Naaman. So if this man is Naaman, that's what it could have been. But if not, this man knows the story of Naaman. He knows that story, and he knows that there's a prophet in Israel that can do amazing things. So he says there's a man in Israel whose God can let him know what you even whisper in the bedchamber. So now this king says, all right, we're going to get this guy then. So they send an army to capture the prophet Elisha. I mean, it's just one guy. So the king says, let me send SEAL Team 6. And SEAL Team 6, the Marine Recon Team, and just to be safe, let me send in the 1st Cavalry. Because if you read the Bible, if you read the verse 14, therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. So the Bible doesn't say how many it is, but they surround the city. So you can pretty much, and there's horses and chariots. So if we're talking about in today's terms, we're talking about tanks and Apache helicopters. So Apache helicopters, tanks, and SEAL Team 6 and the Marine Recon are surrounding you. And I don't know about you, if you woke up one morning, you exited your house, and there are Apache helicopters with spotlights on you. It doesn't even need to be more than two. I mean, just one tank, just one full-fledged tank with the big, you know, the big gun. Like if it's pointed at, you know, you're gonna. So the servant of Elisha goes out in the morning, getting ready to start breakfast for the servants of Elisha and Elisha himself, and he sees all this, and I just imagine he literally freaks out. He freaks out, he puts up his head, and then he calls for his master. He's like, master, what shall we do? What shall we do? I mean, we're surrounded right now. And I mean, it's overkill because Elisha is not an army man. He's not a soldier. And these servants are not soldiers. So they have no weapons in the house. And yet you've surrounded the house with a group of mercenaries trained to kill. And they're here to apprehend Elisha. So most likely they're going to succeed in their mission. Elisha comes out fully calm and collected and just states, no, don't worry about it, because there are more of us than they are of them. And the servant's like, what? And while he says that, he says, Lord, I pray that his eyes may be opened. And what's interesting about that is that Elisha doesn't say, let my eyes be opened to put me at ease. He says, let his eyes be opened to put him at ease, because Elisha knows there are more. And then the man's eyes was opened, and he got to see all the mountain was full of angels. And they are on horses and they are on chariots, but their horses are horses of fire. Their chariots are chariots of fire. And you know, angels, we have never seen an angel, but they're unfallen beings, so they're bigger than us, they're stronger than us, they're faster than us. They emit light and all these things. So I don't know what the servant actually saw, but it must have been impressive and it must have calmed him immediately to the point where I can imagine the servant got a little cocky. You know, at first he was scared. He was like, "Oh my goodness, we're in trouble." And then he got to see. Now he's all like, you know, it's kind of like the bully who's trying to beat you up, but then you see behind them your mom or your dad or your older sibling who's bigger than them, and now you're like, "Oh, okay, no. Now you in trouble. I wasn't. Now you're in." So now he's all calm now. Now he's looking at, you know, Elisha was calm at from the beginning. Now the servant is looking at these souls. He's like, "Oh, you guys, now you guys are in trouble." And lo and behold, the prophet just says, "Let all these men be struck with blindness." So they all become blind. Elisha leads all these, because then now they're blind, they don't know where to go. So Elisha leads this whole army into the camp of Israel. And now Israel surrounds this army. They are unblinded. And the king of Israel turns to Elisha and says, "Should I kill all these men?" And the prophet says, "No, don't kill them. Give them something to eat." So now, put yourself into the shoes of that SEAL Team 6 member who was given an order to go and capture Elisha. And they were mercenaries, so they were given a good, you know, a good bounty. They're like, "Go into Israel, capture this man, this prophet, and bring him back to Syria." So they were like saying, "Man, this is easy. I don't have to fight anybody." They most likely they did recon and they saw that these guys aren't soldiers. There's not going to be put up a fight. They probably surrender. We'll be back by lunchtime, and it's the easiest 500 shekels I've ever made, or coins, whatever it was, easiest job I've ever had. Next thing you know, you're inside the camp of your enemy, eating lunch. You thought you would be home by now, and you're not home. You're in the camp of Israel, and they're giving you food. You thought you in, so now you thought you were gonna die, and now you're eating food with them. The story ends with they went after they were released and they were allowed to go home. They went home, and they never, ever, ever returned. So that means when the king said, "Oh, you failed in your mission? Okay, can you go back? And this time I'll pay you 1,000 shekels." "Nope, I'm not going. I'll pay you 20,000 shekels." I'm not going. I'll pay you $10 million for this easy job. You're a trained soldier. I'm not. I'll pay you $50 million to go and capture the prophet. I'm not going because this man is more powerful than any army that you can send." How wonderful a story is 2 Kings chapter 6. And for our context, is basically there are more of God's army than whatever you go up against. No matter what it is in your life, even if you just do the numbers, if you read in Revelation, I believe chapter 12, where it says the dragon took a third, we still know that if you know your fractions, God outnumbers that. Just by that scripture alone, you should know that God and his angels still outnumber the demon and Lucifer and his army. So no matter what is sent your way, no matter what is sent to attack you in your life, God outnumbers it, is bigger than it, is greater than it, can help you in every single aspect of it. Because that confidence that Elisha had, oh my word, how beautiful it is to know that even when you walk out into life and you're surrounded, and what that might be for us today is the chance of catching COVID-19, especially if we're essential workers, or the fact that we might lose our job because of COVID-19, or the fact that the bills are piling up in our life, or things after things in our life are piling up that make it difficult. No matter what it comes to, no matter what you're surrounded with, you can find that confidence that Elisha had and say, there is more of my God than there are of my problems. There is more of my God than there are of my anxieties and stress. There is more of my God than there are of whatever the enemy tries to send my way. How great is that? How great is that? And the way God will attack your problems, attack your enemies, it will make it seem that, man, this is something only God could have done, because only God would have thought, let me defeat this army, but not wipe them out. Let me feed them and then send them home. How much powerful, because everybody would be thinking, oh, let me just wipe them out. And that's a powerful story to tell the king. Oh, you sent an army to take out the prophet? We just wiped them out. That's a powerful story. But only God could have come up with, here's an even more powerful story. None of them die. They all got a bomb-free meal. We fed them on our money, on our dime. And they never, ever, no matter how much money you throw at their feet, they'll never want to come back to Israel. God can do so many amazing things with your life and with your problems. So just give it to him. And that's what I pray for all of us, including me especially, to have the confidence of Elisha.
Great word today. Great word. I've always liked Elijah. Elisha and Elijah, I've always liked those two, because then you even go back to even Elisha. The thing about that Elijah that I liked is he kind of took Elisha under his wing and kind of mentored him. And I've always liked that in scripture, to where he was not too busy doing what God wanted him to do, that he didn't take time to pour into somebody else to pick up the mantle. And that's one of my favorite parts about Elijah. So really good. He's a really good study.
I mean, going off what you said, that's one of the reasons I love them too. I love both those characters. Well, of course, they're real life people as well. It's just so interesting to see how it likens it also with Christ's ministry, where Christ also said, you will do greater things than I have ever done. And he said that to the disciples. And so usually we put all our attention on what Christ did, and then we forget that the disciples are the one that baptized 3,000 in a day, right? And so we do the same thing with Elijah. We're like, wow, Elijah, he's the great prophet. But we forget Elisha's the one who resurrected the child of the Shunammite woman. Elisha's the one who they just put a dead body next to the bones of Elisha, and he revived. I mean, what if that story happened today? What would we be doing with those bones today? Those bones would be in a some sort of research facility, maybe Area 51 or something like that, because we would be right now, they'd be studying those bones right now. They'd be like, they'd be injecting maybe some nanograms of it into President Trump's arm right now, making sure he was immune to COVID-19. I mean, this is amazing stuff. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to talk about it, because Elisha is that, and that story right there, to feed your enemy. David even speaks about it too, you know. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemy. So what happens when a table isn't prepared for before you? What happens? You get hungry. So you're feeding your enemy. So All right. So I don't want to take any more of your time. So let me pray with you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us that confidence that Elisha had because he had such a close relationship with you. We desire it as well. Help us to grow in our relationship with you every single day so that no matter what obstacles come our way, we have that confidence to know that you are surrounding us. No matter what enemy is surrounding us in our life, what stress, what anxiety, we know that you are surrounding us as well and that you are greater than our problems, especially in this time where there's a lot of uncertainty due to the pandemic. Give us the certainty that you still have the world in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.